So if you're visiting with us tonight, a warm welcome. My name's Dave, one of the elders here in the PM congregation. And yeah, it's just such a privilege to share a bit with you this evening. I felt like God was doing what he wanted to do already, like what I felt he was going to do even through the message he was doing as we worshipped him this evening. So really, really special. And yeah, just trusting for us to catch something of him, something of his heart for us tonight. And yeah, so really excited. Who got down to see the Iron Man at all today? I saw on statuses, people, okay, nice. It's a beautiful day, hey, to be out seeing the guys. Who waited at a couple road stops along the way? Anyone stopped to get here? Okay. Well, that was a bit earlier with the cyclists. And yeah, I just think some of us here, let's be honest, who of us here think, okay, 3.8K swim, 180K cycle, 42K run, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do that one day. Where's all the guys? Like, yo, girls, if I had time, I'd love to do that. Okay, put your hands up. Yes, great. That's awesome. Who of you, if someone paid for your ticket, bought all your gear, and your best friend said, "I'll do it with you," who of you think, okay, now maybe I'll do it? Okay, a couple more hands. Those are the kind of, today, it's like the kind of endurance thing, you want someone to be with you in it, eh? You just, myself and my wife and boys were standing along the side of the road earlier today. We took our boys to go watch the cyclists coming past, and just cheering people on it's really special. It's people you never met before, probably not going to see again, and just shouting for them, come on, you can do it, battle harder, and cheering for them. In the beginning, our boys were a little bit unsure or like, what's happening, and then by the end of it, they're all like cheering, and I want to be cheered on even by like that. And I was just thinking, for us this evening, if we think about a race and doing it with a friend like that, this evening I really feel, even for us, to come and look at the person of the Holy Spirit. And he is that and way more. He is the one who comes alongside and comes close and would be way better than someone sticking through the Ironman race with us. And so just think about all the things that would be great to do with someone. I mean, I love surfing and getting out in the ocean, but it's so much better when someone's with me. Think about traveling, going to travel different places. It's one thing when you're just experiencing that by yourself. Another thing when you've got a friend or someone in your family with you, or think about going away on holiday, making those memories together. And tonight, I want us to think about the Holy Spirit who wants to be with us 24/7. Hey, 24/7, all the time. He is this. And John writes about the Holy Spirit. He writes through the book of John, and there's just a couple places where he speaks about him being a comforter, the one who comforts, the one who is also a counselor. In John 14, he speaks about him being the advocate, the one who is the defense, our defense. You think about him being the Spirit of truth, the one who brings truth and is truth. The embodiment of that is you even just think about who he is this evening. Think about some other, in John 16, he writes that he's the convictor of sin. He shows me what's really going on in here. And he convicts me of sin. He's also my God. Precious thought. He's my God. John 16. And then Paul in Romans, he also Romans and Corinthians and to the churches and the letters. I mean, think about in 2 Corinthians, he speaks about him being our deposit, our seal. The one who shows me that I'm the Father's. He's got me. I mean, he's also my intercessor. The Holy Spirit is the one who prays for me. All these just beautiful. I just wanted us to think about a couple, just a few. This is just John and Paul. Paul also says he's our teacher. our teacher. Think about all these different aspects of who the Holy Spirit is. And then think about that person, God, Spirit, being with us and wanting to be with us all the time. Woo! That is good news. Hey, that is incredible news. And that just, it just excites me this evening, thinking about that. And if you want to give tonight a title, I want to title it By the Spirit. And if we're going to jump into a scripture just now in Romans, and we're going to look at a specific section, Romans 8. But by the Spirit, and being people, men and women, who live by the Spirit. And so let's dive into that, man. So Romans chapter 8, we're going to turn to Romans 8 and just read on from verse 1 for a little bit. But as you turn there, just I want us to think about this, that we're in a battle, hey? We're in a battle, and the enemy wants us to think that we're not in a battle, that we just, that everything's all right, or maybe things go wrong now and then, and but he wants us to be kind of on autopilot, on cruising. And just tonight, I want to remind us that we are in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And the more we realize that we're in a battle and live like it's a battle, I think the more effective we can be for the Lord and actually closer to the Holy Spirit and in step with him. So Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Okay. And we'll put it up on the screen here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Whew, that's good news. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Interesting, he's writing this to the church. But he tells them, but if the Spirit lives in you. He's actually saying, check if the Spirit lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of the sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who rose Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And we'll pause there. Awesome passage of scripture. Romans, beautiful, beautiful book to read through. But this specific, Romans 8, beautiful passage, just speaking about the contrast of these two. The contrast of someone who's alive and in Christ, and the contrast of someone who is dead and feeding their flesh. And I wanted to just for us to think about this for a little bit tonight. Romans 13 says, by the Spirit. And we're going to look at some ways we do this. I'm going to put this up on the one side over here. That says Spirit. And then, whoop, got that. Got to be quick when you have three little boys. And this side over here says flesh. Okay. So I want us to just think about those two areas. Okay. the spirit and the flesh. So let's read Romans 8 verse 13 again. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So it's by the Spirit, hey? It's by the Spirit that we put to death the things, the fleshiness in us. And just so precious in worship, worshiping, and I just even felt God lifting my eyes to Him again and just saying, God, continue to clean me, wash me. And if we pull out some of the, in the earlier verses in Romans 8, and we started to list under here the things that happen when I feed the flesh. Some of the things were that I'm hostile to God, that I cannot please Him. Hey, that when I feed the flesh, there's death. Because when I sin, and then I go on sinning, it gives birth to more sin and more sin, which ultimately, if I lead that path and continue to follow that, it's going to bring death, destruction in my life. What does God have for us? Man, He has life. Yeah. So let's just put those two up here. Wanted us to try and visualize it because, man, we're in a battle. The enemy is going to try and get us to think that feeding the flesh is going to bring life. Hey, how often do we get tricked? How often do I get lulled into thinking that when I follow my own desires, which can even feel like, hey, they're noble, they're right, that they're going to bring life. If you're sitting behind a pillar, I'm so sorry. But you can picture it. God wants to breathe life. And He wants to remind us that following His Spirit, as we follow His Spirit, there's life. So let's think about that again. Romans, right in the beginning, it said that there's life and peace. That we actually will find not just life, but peace. Don't you think this world is chasing after peace? Hey, every other person you chat to, and they're trying to live for, to get rid of anxiety and to fill these things in their heart and get peace. And we have the King of Peace, Jesus. And He wants to come this evening. I feel like He really wants to help us to, firstly, quickly contrast the two. Sometimes I find it helpful when I make decisions or I write a pros and cons list. Who's visual like that? Who likes to put down things like that? I like to visualize that and think, okay, what's if I give to this, what does it do? And if I give to this, what does it do? And this evening, I want us to think about that. So in the Old Testament, I've been going through the Old Testament. I think many of us will have started a Bible reading plan or been going through the first couple books of the Old Testament since the start of the year. And Exodus 33, Moses, he speaks to God and he says something really profound. He's just been really let down by the Israelites. He's gone up. They've been really miraculously set free from Egypt and they've crossed the Red Sea and they... Now Moses has gone up Mount Sinai and got the law from God and found the people making an idol after that. And he's really realizing we need God. And in Exodus 33 verse 15, he says, Moses said to him, he's speaking to God, says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us on from here. And the Israelites journeyed through the wilderness and God put the tabernacle, His presence. He showed them how to live. He took a long time undoing the things they'd learnt in Egypt and reconfiguring, telling them how to live His ways, His pattern. And just as they had the tabernacle at the center of their camps and they'd have to pack it up and head on, And he was trying to help them see that everything you do centered around me, centered around me in my presence. And Moses understood this. And even for us this evening, God wants us to be dependent on him, on his spirit, on his presence. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And that's really, really good news. So I want us to think about just three areas that that Lord really wants to help us in. Even as I was thinking of this evening, thinking, God, would you help us? There's so many areas I need help to sow to the Spirit. When I say sow, like really to choose God in moments and not choose the flesh, what myself, like truly David wants. And so I want us to practically think about three areas. And you can put that just image up there, Rach. So I want us to think about our heads, our hearts, and our hands. Okay, those three areas. And think about how I can actually sow to the Spirit in those areas versus giving to what my flesh wants. Okay, so firstly, my head, my thoughts, what I think in my mind can either feed the flesh or the Spirit, hey? And I think just myself, even as I entered this year, I just really recognized there's a battle I'm in for my attention. My attention. Part of the battle is my own phone that really I find can be such a distraction for my thoughts. And so even something I was just thinking I really wanted to try and do better. And the Lord's helped me with it is practically saying, God, I'm gonna feed my spirit before feeding my flesh every day. God, I want to make sure that I'm choosing your word and you before I'm choosing to pick up my phone and go to the messages or the different needs for today or news or anything, God. And I found, I mean, it's such a simple thing, but I realized even in the holidays that I just slipped into some really just not great habits with kind of mixing it up. And when a soldier heads into battle, they need to put their armor on, hey? And in a similar way, what am I thinking if I'm trying to head into the day without my armor on? And so just when thinking about our thoughts, I mean, even myself and just where Ali and myself are at, we find ourselves, in a sense, we could be living in transition. We announced to the congregation last year, hey, we are heading to Australia to support Brad and Ange. We've worked it out with the elders, with the leadership team, and this is what we feel God is saying. Yet here we are, April, and I'm here. God, what are you saying? What are you doing? The temptation, my thoughts, is a mixture of doubt, a mixture of, God, I can just end up living in limbo. But I felt the Lord anchor me. Anchor me as I've gone to his word. Anchor my thoughts in my mind as he's just helped me. As I've said, God, I need you. I really need you with my thoughts. I'm saying, I'm sovereign. I'm in this. I'm with you. And so even for us this evening, I just want to encourage us to be faithful with what we've been given right now. I mean, that's one of the things that the Lord's been saying very specifically to me is, David, what's in your hands? Be faithful with it right now. And I'm trying to do that. And I've said, Lord, I'm going to live as if I'm dying here. I'm going to live as if I'm dying here. And he's blessing that. I feel his life. I feel myself feeding the Spirit. So let's jump to the next thing from our heads to our hearts. Often what I think in my head affects my heart, hey? Often my thoughts and what I dwell on in the day becomes kind of what I believe. And it really does affect my heart. Proverbs 4 verse 23. We did our holiday club last year based around this scripture. It was beautiful, teaching the kids this. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above everything. That's what kind of priority is that? It's going above all else. Just be careful. Guard it. Be aware of what's going in and out of your heart. What moves you? What are the different things that have wounded you, possibly? What are the areas where your heart has been affected? And I can think of some areas, even in my own life, from a young age, just the enemy sowing some lies about God's love for me, and even my own parents' love for me, sowing lies and me allowing those things to stay there, sit there, and giving birth to flesh. And that actually was bringing death. I think just in a number of areas of my life, I'm so grateful. Grateful for men who've walked with me, journeyed with me. Think of Antia, think of the Harrisons. Think of just so many of you guys that have been brothers to me, helping me with my heart. Us men want to be tough. We want to be, yeah, but we've got to be aware that the thoughts in my mind and things I dwell on and they affect my heart, and also different things happen that can really affect me. And let's be guarding our heart. What leads my heart astray? Maybe for you to think, what leads my heart astray? What could lead my heart astray? Is it money? Is it significance? Is it lust? Is it any of those things that would want to draw my heart away from a pure devotion to Him and from walking in step with the Holy Spirit, which is giving myself to the Spirit? And then my hands. I want us to think about our hands. And just the image I had up earlier on the screen was of open hands. Because this is the way that we live according to the Spirit, is when our hands are open. When I say open, I mean that we're saying, God, here I am. I'm holding my life and my possessions lightly before you. The opposite would be to be closed-handed with what I've got, with my life. My life is my own. I'm in a sense, Lord of my own life. And that way and that posture of living is ultimately going to bring death. It's not God's way. What's in my hands? Constantly asking Him, how do I live today? How do I live today in a way that would please you? Galatians 6, verse 8 to 10. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Woo! Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. That's our hands. I'm even thinking about the scripture in terms of what I do. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It's to us, to each other, to be reaching out to each other with our hands. As we do that, friends, we are living God's way. We're not living the tight-fisted life that the world says, keep. I mean, there's that temptation even in the world that we live in today, with the oil prices and the wars, and there's that temptation to want to really kind of bunker down, like, let me make sure I'm okay. That's not God's way. God's way is outwards, open-handed posture. Be open. It was prayed early in the prayer time that, God, let us be open conduits or pipes for you, that His presence would be able to flow through us. Flow through us. Oh, don't you want God's presence to flow through you? Don't you want to in a sense, stand back unhindered, allowing the things around you not to hinder you from the Spirit to flow through you and use you? He wants that. He wants that for us. He's got that for us. I feel even the sense of what God's heart is over us this evening is that He's for us. Friends, He's for us. He loves us. We're His children. It's the Spirit that He puts inside of us, which testifies to God that we are His sons and daughters. It's good news. It's good things to be reminded of. And I was just even thinking for myself, God, help me to be someone who obeys you, who's quick to obey you. We're busy doing some training this April and May with our boys, and we're chatting with them about obedience and about obeying first time with joy and honor. And we've got like a little reward system, and it's currently working great, and I've really enjoyed it. But I felt the Lord speaking to me quite clearly also as we've been trying to teach our kids this. He's been saying, my boy, I want this for you too in my relationship with you and me. And going, I can't be asking my kids of this. That, hey, Nathan, Jordy, Bradley, you need to obey first time with joy and honor. If I'm not living that out myself, even just in my posture towards God, I've been going, God, help me. Help me. Help me where I don't obey first time, where I'm not giving to the Spirit. I'm actually trying to, I first like stand back and see or a question or, oh God, help me. Help me to be obedient. And I want to encourage us. It's often in the small things. Sometimes even with my parenting, I can be tempted to think, if we just do something like big together as a family, if we go and make some big memory, or which is great, we go take a holiday away, which is awesome. We had a great time away as a family over Easter, which was really precious. But it's actually the consistency in the small little acts of obedience, the disciplines. And even for us tonight, there's a discipline of walking in step with the Holy Spirit. It's a discipline of it that God looks to help us with. He doesn't look to say, okay, are you doing it? He looks to help us with it. He can say, God, help me. Help me with this. So that scripture again in Romans 8, verse 13, let's put it up again. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So it's by the Spirit. All of these things can only be done by the Spirit. It means with Him, with His help. It's not I go and do it and then I come to Him. It's by the Spirit that He helps me to kill those the lustful thoughts. It helps me to kill the impure desires, the desire to want to try and cling on to my life. It's by the Spirit. And I think the next little bit after verse 13 really helps us to understand His heart even more. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you may live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you have received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. We're children with Him. Man, we're His kids. How incredible is that? Think that God is my Father. And having an understanding, a growing understanding of God as your Heavenly Father is absolutely essential to you drawing near and wanting to walk with His presence with you every day. How many of us have not had a father saying, you can do it. I think many of us have either believed a lie or not actually had an earthly father saying, come on, my boy, you can do it. You can do it. Even as we're saying to the Ironman guys heading on the race today, like, you can do it. Some of us haven't had a father saying that to us. God, our Heavenly Father, He and His heart is, you can do it with me. You can do it. You can do it. And the scripture here in Romans 14 through to 17, man, it's an expression of His heart, but also it's showing us that we who have the Spirit living inside of us, we adopted, our identity sealed, we co-heirs with Christ. interesting right there at the end. It says we share in his sufferings. Do you know that suffering is, it's part of sharing with Christ's sufferings that we are actually going through, that we're going to go through hardships in life. We share in the sufferings with Christ so that we also will share with him in his glory. This is it for us who are his children.